If you were to have to pick somebody out of the crowd, somebody that you didn't know, how would you go about that? You wouldn't know what they looked like. You wouldn't know how they dressed. How would you go about picking someone out of the crowd that you didn't know? Well, maybe a picture would be helpful. And the more detailed the picture, the better you would be. In the same way, how do we know who is pure in heart? If you remember last week, those who are pure in heart not only have a moral purity to them, but they are devoted to following Christ. They don't go to the right, they don't go to the left, but they follow the narrow road, following Jesus Christ. But here's a problem. If we have to pick someone out of the crowd who is pure in heart, problem is, we're not going to find anybody. The scriptures say, "Who can say that I have kept my heart pure? Who can say that I am clean without sin?" Well, the answer is no one, of course. No one is without sin. No one has a pure heart. Irregardless of what people may say about you, and even more, regardless of what you may say about yourself, you don't have a pure heart. I don't have it. The elders don't have it. Nobody has a pure heart. As Mary and the other women went to the tomb to look for the body of Jesus, and the angel said to them, "He is not here." So if we were to look for the pure in heart among this congregation, the only answer would be, they're not here. They're not here among us. We cannot look for the living among the dead. We cannot look for the pure among the impure. So what do we do? If we've got to pick out the person who is pure in heart, what do we do? Well, if you were to pick out an all-star quarterback, you might look for someone like Peyton Manning. You wouldn't look for someone like Gomer Pyle. You would look for somebody like Peyton Manning. So if we were to have to pick out the one who is pure in heart, then we must look not to the one who is just flesh, but the one who is flesh and divine. We must look not only to the one who lived here on earth, but we must look to the one who lives also in heaven. We must look to the one who was and is and is to come. If we want a picture of what it means to be pure in heart, we can't look to just man, but we got to look to the one who is a man and God. If we want a good idea of what it means to be pure in heart, we need to look to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the pattern of purity. He is the pattern of moral purity, but he's also the pattern of one who is fully devoted to God. Listen to what the writer to the Hebrews says. "Such a high priest as Jesus meets our needs, for he is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners." Have you really ever stopped and thought about the purity of Jesus? There was no sin found in him. Nothing that he ever said, nothing that he ever did, nothing that he ever thought. He was pure all the time. He was uncompromising in his devotion to God the Father. He did not negotiate with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Though he was hungry in the desert, yet he did not succumb to the temptations of evil. Though he prayed that if it was the Father's will that he could bypass the cross, yet when he got his answer, he set out resolutely for Jerusalem to take the cross up. He was also uncompromising in his love for us. He became last so that we would become first. He gave up his glory that we would be glorified. He came to earth that we may go to heaven. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He fed the hungry. He was patient with those who were impatient with him. He loved those who were unlovely. He forgave those who hurt him. Yes, Jesus Christ is the picture of the pure heart. And we are to be like him. We're not to imitate him in his miracles, no. Instead, we are to imitate him in his moral purity and in his devotion to God the Father. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, "Be imitators of God and live a life of love, just as Jesus Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ in God forgave you." Our calling, our purpose for living, the purpose of our redemption, the end goal of the work of the Holy Spirit is to change you, to conform you to the image of Christ. Paul, writing to the Romans, says, "For those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." And Paul again tells the Colossians, "Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." What does that mean? It means that since we are united to Christ through the Holy Spirit, you do understand that you are united to Christ. You are united to Christ through the Holy Spirit. The resurrected, ascended, and glorified human nature of Christ. You are united to that through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit connects us to Christ in heaven. And what it means that since we are united to Christ through the Holy Spirit, it means that we now are to consider ourselves citizens of heaven. And since we are already citizens of heaven, we are to think and act and talk as those in heaven think, act, and talk. Many, many years ago, I took a class down in Jamaica. And being in Jamaica, they eat a lot of spicy foods. And of course, y'all, anybody who knows me knows that I can't eat spicy food. But one day, as we're traveling down the road, oh, thank you, Jesus. There are the Golden Arches. Thank you, Jesus. Went in, got a hamburger. You see, I love McDonald's. I was in a foreign land, but I love McDonald's because McDonald's was a part of where I live. Well, the scriptures say that you are already living, in a sense, in heaven. You are already connected to Christ in heaven. You're already connected to the saints in heaven. So therefore, your mind should be and your heart should desire the things of heaven, just as I desired that hamburger. You should desire the things of heaven. Heaven is our home. And right now we're in a faraway land. We are sojourners in a distant country. But one day we will be home. And since heaven is our home, we should live. We should live in accordance where our citizenship is. Just like the Israelites when they were exiled into Babylon, they longed for the promised land. They longed to go back. And even there in when they were in exile, they still practiced the things of the land of Israel. As Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, though they were in Babylon, they would not live in accordance with the Babylonian ways. So even though we are living, in a sense, in our Babylon, we shouldn't live in accordance with Babylonian ways. Instead, we are to live in accordance with our citizenship. And our citizenship is in heaven. Okay, that being said, I still need to know, how does that practically work itself out in my life? If I am united to Christ and He is in heaven, how is that going to show itself practically in my life? Well, once again, we're going to look to Jesus. How did it practically show itself, the pureness of His heart in His life? Well, one of the key indicators or the key fruits of having a pure heart is devotion to God's Word. Right from our Sunday school class this morning. Just look at Jesus. He was a man who loved and breathed and lived the Word of God. He Himself is the living Word of God. He came to reveal God to us. And as we examine His life, we come to know God. Yet as a man, Jesus was totally dependent upon God's Word. All right, let's examine His life for just a moment. And since you heard it this morning in Sunday school, you just have to bear with me because I'm going to say it again. As Jesus was led into the desert to be tempted by Satan, Satan comes to Him and says, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Now, Jesus had been in the desert for 40 days. Don't you think the man was a little bit hungry? Yes. And so, we mistakenly think that the temptation there was to feed his hunger. No. The temptation there was not to believe God's Word. Because you see, Satan comes to him and says, "If you are the Son of God." Now, what was the last thing Jesus heard before He went into the desert to be tempted? He hears God the Father say what? "This is My Son. In Him I am well pleased." You see, Satan was tempting Jesus, "Don't believe what you just heard." And of course, then, as you follow the narrative, all of the temptations that Satan brings before Jesus, Jesus confronts those temptations with the Word of God. What gave Jesus strength, even after He had had nothing to eat for 40 days? What gave Him encouragement? It was the Word of God. What gave Jesus encouragement when it was time to go to the cross? What gave Jesus encouragement as He's hanging there on the cross? God's promises to Him. Psalm 18. "The cords of death entangle me. The torrents of destruction overwhelm me. The cords of death coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to God, to my God for help. And He answered. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He rescued me." Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus quotes this psalm as He's hanging on the cross. "My God, why have you forsaken me? All who see me mock me. They hurl insults at me, shaking their heads, saying, he trusts in the Lord. The Lord, let the Lord rescue him. Let God deliver him, since he says that God delights in him. You see, the psalmist, hundreds of years before, writes down the very words that Jesus will quote and the very words that the crowds will say to Jesus. So how does it all end? How does Psalm 22 end? Listen. For God has not despised or disdained the sufferings of the afflicted one. God has not hidden his face from him, but will listen to his cry for help. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's in extreme pain. The wrath of God is being poured out upon him because of our sin. What gave Jesus encouragement? The fact that hundreds of years before, the Holy Spirit, speaking through the mouth of King David, promised Jesus that God the Father would not abandon him, but would save him from the grave and save him from death. Thus, you see, one of the characteristics of the one who has a pure heart is to love God's word. Uncompromising devotion to God's word is a sign of one's uncompromising devotion to God. When we can say, as the psalmist says, oh God, I love your law, I meditate it all the day, I've hidden your word in my heart that I will not sin against you. When we have that attitude, oh my friend, that is an indication of the pure in heart. You are experiencing God's work in you through the Holy Spirit. You are being conformed to the image of Christ. The same attitude that Jesus had to the Word of God, that attitude, that desire is being worked in you through the Holy Spirit. Paul tells the Colossians, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. The Apostle Peter says, grow in knowledge and in grace of Jesus Christ. To be in Christ, to claim to have a pure heart that is devoted to Christ, means that one will be devoted to God's word. Suppose, y'all, excuse me. Suppose you and I are having a conversation and you say, you know, preacher, I love country music. And so you do. Well, which country music artist do you like the best? Well, I don't know any of them. Okay, well, what records, what CDs do you have of country music? Well, I don't have any of those. Okay, well, what radio station do you listen to? I don't ever listen to radio, country music radio. But, you know, I just love country music. We would find that quite odd, would we not? All Christians say they love God's word. But so many times they have no clue as to what it says, because they spend no time in it. What a contradiction. What a contradiction to say, I'm a Christian, I love God's word, but I don't know what it says, and I don't spend any time in it. But those who are being, their hearts are being developed to be pure, they are going to love God's word. When Esau came in from hunting, he was so hungry that he said to his brother, give me food or I will die. Let me tell you, the attitude of the pure in heart, they say, give me the word of God or I shall die. Feed me with the words of Christ. Do you have the attitude of Jesus when it comes to the word of God? Just ask yourself, how much time do you spend in reading the word of God? When you go through the Bible, do you let the Bible go through you? When you read the Bible, do you let the Bible read you? Oh, these are all signs. These are all fruits of the Holy Spirit. Those who are pure in heart will love God's word. And then lastly, and I'm running out of time, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one. Lastly, the purity of Jesus' heart. Thus, the purity of the hearts of the believers. It is seen and demonstrated in the love that you would have for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Who would ever doubt that Jesus loved others? Who would doubt that Jesus loved others? Even though many didn't believe in him, yet he demonstrated love to them. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He allowed the blind to see. And there were many that didn't accept him as the Messiah, but you know what? He still fed them with the fish and the loaves. But Jesus' pure heart is especially seen in how he loves the sheep, how he loves the church. The purity of Jesus' heart is shown in how he loves you, how he loves me, how he loves us who are unlovely. So the fruit of the pure in heart is to love God, but to love your neighbor. Paul puts it this way when he writes to the Colossians. He says, Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Listen to what he writes to the Thessalonians. He says, we ought always to thank you, thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Do you catch what he's saying? Paul connects the maturity in the faith, that as you mature in the faith, the presence of your love for the church is going to be more and more. If the clouds are dark and heavy, you know it's going to rain. My friend, if there's much love in your heart for God and for the church, then it's the Holy Spirit working a pure heart in you. The picture of the pure in heart is found in Christ. And though you are not perfect, and I am not perfect, yet we are all the true children of God. And the purity of the heart of Jesus is being worked in us through the Holy Spirit. And it will be evident. It will be evident by the manifestation of your love to God's word and your love for the church. The pure in heart will love God's word and love the church. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ who has Because of his pure heart, we are saved from our impure heart. But we also thank you for Christ because he shows us the fruit of a pure heart, love for your word and love for the church. Oh, Heavenly Father, through your Holy Spirit, work in us purity of heart. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.